Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Voice Actors Journal with Simon and Jeff. I'm Simon, and always joining me is my good friend, Jeff.
Hello everyone.
Hey everybody, so we're going to do a little special episode today. As you all might know, the legendary Stan Lee has passed away on Monday.
Still having a hard time dealing with that.
Yeah, it definitely is a huge loss in the comic book industry.
Definitely. Well, the world, I was definitely saying the world for sure, in my opinion, but we'll get to that later on.
Absolutely. We're going to do a little different from our original episodes. We're just going to talk about Stan Lee and how he influenced us and even probably some voice actors out there. There's certainly characters that he made that allowed other companies to create animation cartoons about them and just give opportunities for many voice actors to voice them. And those that have voiced his characters, you know, were given a really good opportunity to do it. So
I think
for sure that even with his passing, his influence is going to be felt by many future artists, future animators, future voice actors, future comic book artists, you name it, man. It's going to be a lot of influence out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. There's no doubt that he has left an indelible mark on the American psyche, the American culture, if not the world for what that is. Simon and I were talking about this before we started broadcasting this today. We were talking about how we grew up with some of the older cartoons, like the Amazing Spider-Man and the X-Men series and whatnot.
The Fantastic Four.
Sure. Mm-hmm. There's that too. Yeah.
Spider-Man and his amazing friends.
Right. I forgot there was another offshoot of that. That's right. Yeah. Needless to say that, you know, those cartoons, at least for us, definitely were influences into, you know, what we do today and what we love today, you know, be a part of the, you know, the whole nerd culture thing, eventually becoming a voice actor, you know, as part of, you know, of who we are and what we love, about anything when it comes to comics and, you know, and of course all the Marvel movies that have come out too. I mean, you could definitely feel his influence there. You know, you always see him as sort of a good-natured grandpa kind of guy, and you know, he was a great guy to be around. You know, I wish I had the privilege of meeting him. That really would have been definitely a bucket list item right there, if you will. Not to, you know, but that would have been really something.
Yeah, I kind of regret. I mean, with all the conventions that I've been going, you know, sometimes he was there, and now I kind of regret not taking the time to meet him. So
it
sucks. And you know, regardless of the fact look, no matter what fan of which publisher you are, it doesn't matter if you're DC, Marvel, Dark Horse, Image, IDW, Boom Studios, Dynamite Comics, it doesn't matter. Monday was a huge loss for everyone that's a comic fan and pretty much everyone that's a fan of his movies, even the characters. Not necessarily, you know, you were a hardcore comic book reader, but just if you love those movies, you know, just it's a huge loss. And his influence, you know, it's just not on the Marvel universe. You know, there's definitely going to be influence in the DC universe with upcoming artists and more of the independent artists that are out there, like, independent comic book creators out there.
Sure. Anybody's making their own content, whatever it might be. I mean, his influence is far and wide, to be sure. And his passing has made the world, sadly, a little more poorer. And it's tough. It's going to be tough, you know.
It is. And, you know, as a voice actor, I think, you know, maybe I was a little bit too young to notice the influence that he was having on me with those cartoons that were made because of his creations of those characters. So, you know, maybe because, you know, back in the 90s, we didn't have a Marvel movie that comes out every single year.
Yeah, that's true.
We did it. I mean, early 90s, there was not even one single Marvel movie.
Right.
And the very first one would be X-Men. At least I can remember. Yeah, it would be X-Men. Yeah. That came out like in 2000. But during that 90s period, pretty much my introduction to the Marvel characters were X-Men, the animated series, Spider-Man, the animated series, Fantastic Four. Those were the shows that I watched, Saturday morning cartoons. And You know, and those play a huge part in my life because, you know, I'm pretty sure that it's what influenced me to become a voiceover artist. And it took me a while to really, you know, embrace it and go for it. So I know for a fact that it played a part in my childhood and kind of steer the path for me. That's what led to me today.
I think for me, his influence with, you know, with all, with arguably with any comic book hero, but, you know, obviously Stan Lee and his creations of Marvel for sure. Whether you root for the bad guy, you root for the good guy. I think when you're reading his books, you're reading his artwork or even just him himself, it inspires you to want to be the hero, to be the good guy that saves the day, or just to be generally a better person overall, because that's what he writes about. You know, that crime is always punished, or, you know, the good guy always wins, which arguably can get kind of dull in and of itself. But, you know, I think deep down you'd want justice to prevail one way or another. And that, and that's a message I think for any comic book series or any comic book publisher, be it DC, Marvel, whomever. But Stan, you know, you see how Stan is. You see what his persona was like when he was on camera. To my knowledge, it wasn't much different when he was off camera. But he always came across as being just a really good guy. He was just sort of the nice old grandpa kind of guy who'd get around. He'd be real happy to see people, genuinely happy and whatnot. And and you'd want to be like him, and implement part of what he wrote, what he taught, what he drew, so that you too can be the superhero in somebody's life. You know, if nothing else, you could argue for myself, it inspired me to want to become like a Boy Scout leader and whatnot. So I am now an influence to not just my sons, but to the sons of others, to other families, whatnot, to be a better person in the realm of scouting. And it's like, am I their hero in that regard? Arguably, maybe I'm not, but at some point I'm going to be remembered later on as an influence. And Stan Lee stands exactly like that and has been like that for decades.
Yeah. For many people that are, that were started off as kids and then they grew up to become comic book artists and now working for one of the big comic book companies. And, if you've seen a bunch of tweets, it's just, gosh, it was nice because, there was this form of unity that I haven't seen a lot in the past few years with comic book fans. Because, there are a lot of comic book fans out there that are very loyal to their own, to a certain comic company.
Sure.
And, there's always this bidding war between them. And I think with his passing, that one day, I felt like there was a unity between, specifically DC and Marvel.
Yeah.
It was nice to not have to read about, DC sucks or Marvel sucks. Oh yeah, Marvel's winning. Oh, DC's gonna lose. And it's nice to see that it didn't happen on Mondays. That's both sides were able to, to comprehend that, he's a great man. He created this. He was a very big contributor, one of the biggest contributions in the comic book industry. And, being fans, we're very passionate about the things that we're fans of. So,
to be sure, yes.
Yeah, we're very passionate about it. There's always going to be, we're either going to like one or the other, but on Monday, it just felt like it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Which one you liked. It's, we lost someone that was very important to the industry. And it sucks. It really sucks. Yeah. And, but go ahead.
I was about to say, if there was sort of a lull, if you will, in the, I don't want to say the bickering, that's not quite the word, the debate or however you want to put it, it would be obvious that both sides respected Stan Lee and his contributions. That I think that's the big one to really stand on, is that whether you were one side or the other, he obviously commanded respect from both sides.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go on.
Yeah, Stan Lee has worked on a few comic books for DC back in the day, so it's not, it shows us that we could all appreciate any form of comic book characters, regardless of who created it or what created it. Stan Lee was very open, to even working with DC Comics at one point. So it's yeah, it's, I mean, man, it sucks because, you know, now when you see, when you watch these movies, you know, you're going to notice the one piecing element that's always been there, and that's Stan Lee and his famous cameos.
Oh, yeah. Got it.
So,
and it always seemed that for all the cameos that he's done, he's always been like open to do whatever cameo they'll throw at him just because it'd be such a kick. And for me, the one of the funnier ones would be like, you know, when he played Hugh Hefner in one of the Iron Man movies, or if he played he played a DJ at a strip bar, which I personally couldn't stop laughing when I saw that. But that was, he's just the funniest of the bunch.
He also played
a whole slew of others too.
Yeah, but, I think he also played a FedEx delivery guy.
He did. Yeah. Tony Stank. Yeah. That was.
Yeah. And then the Deadpool 2 trailer that came out like before the movie. With Deadpool going to the phone booth and changing his costume. It was in the movie theaters, and then also I think it was, I forgot what trailer for what movie. It might have been Logan or something like that, before Logan. Mm. And then Stan Lee would pop up and was like, "Hey, great costume!" And Deadpool's like, "Zip it, Stan Lee!" And then
he goes, "That's yeah. right." No, I think I remember that. That's right. Oh my god, I forgot about that. I have to go look for that one.
Yeah, and there were so many cameos, and then he made a cameo in Teen Titans to Go, the animated DC movie that came out summer of last year.
No kidding, I did not know that.
He made he made a cameo there, and then guys, go look for it on YouTube. And then he's like. And they're like, "Stan Lee." And then someone told, and then some like random production assistant that was in the movie is like whispering to your ear, is like, "What? This is a DC movie? I need to get out of here. I need to leave." And then he comes back in, like, I think they're doing like a chase scene, like Robin and his friends. And then they were like in his golf cart. And then Stan Lee will come and just like, "Oh my God, Stan Lee, what are you doing here?" He's like, "I know this is a DC movie, but I love cameos, so I'm staying." And I was like, and then Rob was like, "There's no time for you, Stan Lee." Like, yeah, try to like drive him away and stuff like that. So
that's funny.
Yeah, it's a. I mean, I watched the clip and it was pretty funny. So,
well, interesting bit of trivia that I picked up recently from one of my Facebook friends. Apparently, he was quite driven to do far more cameos than Alfred Hitchcock in his movies, and apparently beat him by a long shot, something to the effect of like 56 to 35 or something really nuts like that. So, you know, so now I'm thinking, okay, somebody's going to have to make a compilation of like all the Stan Lee cameos, you know, through the years, if you will, and just kind of pull it out there. I'm sure there's a few already out there. I don't know if it has all of them, but. I thought that was an interesting bit of trivia that he's actually had that many, you know, cameos and whatnot. And then that's the one thing you look for in the Marvel movies now when you go. It's like, okay, where's Stan hiding at today? You know, and, you know, is he, you know, DJing at another strip club? Is he, you know, standing out in the street, you know, talking to Spider-Man? Go, yeah, you know, one man can make a difference, you know, kind of thing. And
yeah.
Something as mundane as that. But, and I think that's now what's really going to hit home is that, the next Marvel movie, if it's not this whatever upcoming one there is, the one after, there isn't going to be a Stan Lee cameo. And that's going to hurt. That's really going to hurt.
Yeah, I know. Mm. And pretty much any future releases, the ones that are going to be filmed pretty soon, you know, it's just...
Yeah, exactly.
It's not going to be there, you know? Right. I mean, hopefully they might just put some Easter eggs in there just to help us remember, you know?
Oh, I'm sure. I can't imagine they wouldn't do something, but you never know. You never know. It's all up to the production and all that. But you know that it as sad as I am, I'm not like upset that he's passed on. I mean, the man was 95, which is old. And I'm not, you know, Simon cracks on me about being old. I'm going to be turning 50 in a couple of months, but 95 is old. You know, so just keep in mind that he was able to live a good and long and rich life. And the fact that the world arguably celebrates his life now, but now that the world celebrates his life now, you know, just remember that he lived a good, you know, just remember that he lived a good and long and charmed life, arguably. I mean, yeah, he had his ups and downs and all that. His wife of many years had passed on a few years earlier and all that, but he was able to really kind of go and keep telling the story and to keep, to keep the spirits up for his fans out there, you know, and, I could even go so far and say, you know, you're never too old to really do what you want to do or something that you're passionate about. And he was fortunate enough that he was able to do something he was very passionate about for, you know, the majority of his life. You know, not many people get such an opportunity, and he got to keep doing it well into his 90s, which, you know, honestly, he should have retired and just kind of enjoyed it and done the cameos and left it at that. But
yeah, but he he was still pretty active, you know, even at that age. I mean, he will still go to conventions and take photos with fans that wants to meet him, and just he's always been part of the big, you know, Comic-Con community, no matter what. Yeah, so, it's just, it's very inspirational because you see his life, and then it's just, you know, he wanted to be a comic book artist, so he created all these characters, no matter what. And he kept at it, never quit, you know, just kept working at it, and look at it now, and it's just like a giant universe, you know. And it's a very inspirational for us, because as voice actors, we might not be comic book artists, but, you know, it's the same thing. We're artists in some form, you know, so we want to chase our dream. And this is like a blueprint, you know, his life is like a blueprint. It's like, you could do it. Yeah. You just got to put the work in it.
You just got to put the work into it. You really got to put the passion to it, to drive to do it, you know, come hell or high water, as it is, you know, like I was saying earlier, he was very passionate about what he was doing. He did it for, you know, basically all of his adult life, if not younger, and he really just loved doing it, and that was his thing. And obviously the whole thing has exploded into, you know, you got all these, you know, these Comic-Con conventions and, you know, any sort of comic book characters, people dress up as all these characters now. I mean, there's just a massive influence in the American culture that will never go away, ever. The way I see it, and, you know, and Stan Lee, absolutely, completely responsible for that, along with his team and his co-creators. But he is definitely, you know, the man, the myth, as it were. He's the guy who established all that, and that's good. That's going to be hard to duplicate, hard to supersede that in any way. You know, he definitely set a very high bar for that. So. We'll see what the years bring afterwards, you know, after Stan. We'll have to see what the years bring and what movies come out. And hopefully his influence will still be felt in these movies from going forward, you know, or whatever else they choose to do from thereafter, video games, etc. And his voice actors.
Yeah.
Go on.
I have no doubt about that. No doubt.
Yeah. And his voice actors, obviously, how cool is it that, you know, if you get chosen as a voice actor to be, you know, the Wolverine, or you'd be Deadpool, or whomever, you know, whatever incarnation comes forward, if you were going to be a voice actor for, you know, a video game or for an animated feature or whatever it is. I mean, how cool is that going to be that you can say, yes, I'm a part of this legacy that Stan created?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That would be cool. That would be cool. But, you know, everyone that wants to, if this is part of your dream, you got to work for it.
True. Always.
You know,
always.
Got to work for it, you know. And, you know, and just like Stan Lee did, you know, he never gave up. Never gave up. You know, so we can't give up.
True. Exactly.
We can't give up. Well, I guess that does it for this little tribute episode with about Stan Lee.
Like I said, I know for me, when the next movie comes out and he's not in it, that's when I'm going to really feel it, that, you know, that he's really gone, you know, and not looking forward to that. That's for sure.
No one is. Wow. And I guess the perfect way to end this episode is to say his famous line.
All right, let's do it. 3, 2, 1. Excelsior!